Thank you for being here tonight, and it's a wonderful time. I don't know if you know this, but it's February 13th. You know that? And, you know, love is in the air. Is it in the air with you? Some of you, you're not quite sure. Some of you are good. Some of you are not quite sure if you've got love yet or not. It is my privilege. I get to pastor the life group over at Dominion Senior Living. And over at Dominion, I guess it could be said that my life group is probably the most mature life group in all of Abba's House. True. The best part about the group is we meet on Sunday morning from about 9:15 to 10:15, and we sing our old hymns every Sunday. We do that. And the best part is everybody can sing, and nobody cares that nobody can sing. We have a great time, and we just carry on. And if you get the words right, great. If you don't, nobody knows the difference, and we have a great time at it. And, you know, it's just everybody says, well, if you come and you have a good time, we're all about that. And that's part about what love is, and just looking at folks. And I keep thinking, you know, I need to set an example for my kids. You know why? Because kids learn from their parents all through life. Do you agree with that? If my kids learn about how to do things all through life, my children will learn how I treat my mom and dad. My children will eventually choose my Dominion Senior Living. Think about that for a minute. So if I'm not good to my parents, what will my daughters be to me? Yes, because you pay it forward. So the note here is you need to always be demonstrating love. But how does love really translate? Scripture gives us some very core truths about that love that we need to embrace. I want to ask you another question here, though, real quick. Are y'all familiar with a tree? That's a question, so say yes. Are you familiar with a tree? All right, great, thank you. Now, with a tree, you have to have the part that you see and then the part that you don't see, right? And I don't know if you've heard the illustration before, but I'm going to remind you of it. When you have a tree and you put it into a greenhouse, okay? So you take the tree, you put it into the greenhouse, and while it's in there, there's no wind, it's all protected, and the tree grows. And it has a perfect environment, nothing comes against it or anything else. But as a tree continues to grow, the greenhouse falls apart. Then the wind comes through and the tree falls down. Why? It grew up without having any resistance, any challenges, or any toughness as it went through life. It didn't have the root structure that it needed. All of its roots were superficial on top of the ground. Whereas you take a tree that's out in the middle of the wind, and you kind of wonder, and I worked the April 27th, 2011 tornadoes. Many of you probably remember that particular night. And I drove through Cherokee Valley Road and out through Appison in that particular area, and it were some true devastating things to see. And as you looked at the trees, and you would see big trees over. And then you would see other trees that were smaller, and they stood firm. What was the difference? It was their root structure. And so the root of all things we need to think about carefully, because the root is what holds us firm. So where is your root founded in relationship to God? Now, we've been looking at the spiritual gifts and how those play a part in our lives and how we can use them for other things. The danger that we run into when we're talking about spiritual gifts is sometimes I want a gift so that I can be seen as better, more holy than anybody else. Anybody know something like that? You know, if I have this particular gift or if I can do this, then that makes me more spiritual or more holy, and that makes me better than you. And so you need to kind of bow down in my presence because, well, I'm more holy than you. And I'm going to tell you, you're not holy. You might be something else, but that's not holiness right there. Amen? God gives us the gifts to use for one purpose, and that's the upbuilding of His kingdom. That is why He gives us gifts. Why don't we have some of the gifts working today? Well, we don't seek them and we don't use them in the full power that He has given to us to use them. And so we need to work on improving that. How do we do that? We need to go to the root of the problem. Jesus is the root, and that is love. Love is the root. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19 reads, "We love because he first loved us." You can't escape that one single verse. We love because he first loved us. Because you see, back in the Garden of Eden, when sin entered into the world, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, all of a sudden, right there, God had a plan for restoration. He issued it right there, his declaration. And he put his plan in motion for us to remain with him. And so when we take that plan and we hold it close to us, we understand that he loved us first, and he continues to pour himself into us. And he took that he loves us first so that we can love others. He demonstrated love. And let's look at John 3:16. I bet you can say that. And let's just read that together. Can we just say that out loud? Read that together. Here we go. "For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Now, you've recited that. Some of you have recited it from different Bible versions through the years, and even though that wasn't the King James, I bet you still understand the passage, right? "For God so loved the world." Well, when you see world, that means everything, everybody. He loved us so very much that he gave the one thing that was so precious to him. I remember when my Emily was born. She's my oldest daughter. That was such a precious time. When Emily came into the world, I can't imagine what it would be like to give Emily up as a sacrifice. But yet God gave up his son Jesus as a sacrifice for us. And you know what? Jesus did it willingly. At any point in time, he could have said, negative. No, they're not worth it. I'm not going. But he chose to endure the cross for us. And that's why we have victory in Jesus. Give him a praise offering for that. In order for us to minister, in order for us to reach others, we've got to be founded in the root, in the scripture. We've got to know what we're doing. I had a young man come and talk to me many years ago, and he'd just gotten saved and was kind of getting into the word and just kind of being discipled a little bit. And this hasn't been very long, you know, after he got saved, and it just went for a little bit. And he came and he said, "You know, I want to go down and minister to this particular group of people." And I can't tell you the group of people. But he wanted to go minister to this group. And I said, "Brother, you don't need to go down there. You're not quite ready yet." He said, "Yes, I am. I feel called to minister to them." I said, "No, no, you don't." And he said, "Yes, I do." "No, you need to trust me. You need to wait. You're not quite ready for that. You need to be mentored. You need to grow some more before you jump into this arena." Well, what does a preacher know? I mean, you know, they only do this all the time. They went to seminary, they study, they read the Bible, they pray, they talk to God. You come for spiritual advice. What do they know? I mean, you know, really? So he said, "You don't know anything. I'm going to go anyway." I said, "Well, you know." So he went. It wasn't long. You ever heard the good apple inside of a sack of bad apples? And regretfully, that's what happened. We got to reconnect sometime later, and he said, "You know, you were right. I wasn't quite ready for that adventure." And so we got to recant some of that. Before we minister, we've got to make sure our hearts are right. So let me encourage you to do this. We've got to do some self-examination. We've got to look inside our hearts, and we've got to ask God, "Dear God, please reveal to me any area of my life that has sin in it, and reveal that to me so that I can confess that sin." We oftentimes say, "Dear Lord, please forgive me of my sins and my trespasses that I may be forgiven." That's nice and generic, and that sounds nice in public, but in reality, it's not specific to you. You need to say, "Dear Lord, I'm sorry for the sin of lust that I just committed. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for the sin of profanity that I just said. Dear Lord, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me of the sin where I took your name in vain. Dear Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me where I issued hate toward this individual. Dear Lord, please forgive me where, if you don't identify the sin and call it by name and lay it before the throne of grace, then you can't be relieved and broken free from that sin. It is that important to call it by name. Not generic. Get specific. Cut it out. Fortunately, God applies grace. People often ask, what's special about Abba's house, you know? And they'll go off with all kinds of different things. I say, listen, Abba's house is about, it's not about where you've been. It's about where you're going. That's what matters. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter about anything before. All that matters is what's going on now and where you want to go in the future. And you've got to make your own choice about that. Me as an individual, as a follower of Christ, I've got to choose. This is the path that I want to take for me. This is the path that I'm wanting to choose to move forward with. So how can I do that? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Jesus is the root of the gifts. Jesus is the very root of all the gifts. So of all the gifts that you've ever heard about, seen, studied, and are looking at and considering, and it may be even part of you, no matter what gift it is, the very root, the very foundation is indeed Jesus is the root of those gifts. We know that from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. And Galatians 5:22 reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? And it says the fruit are fruits. Fruit, singular. One, okay? So you take all of this verse and it rolls into one. Now, I'm certain that you have heard many a sermon on Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit, all right? So I'm not going to expose, we're not going to go through Galatians 5:22, but I want you to understand that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Oh, goodness. Talk about a list. So when people come up and they ask me, Pastor Jake, how can I know that I got saved? Well, this is how you can know you got saved. Do you have love in your heart? Do you care about other people? Do you have joy? Do you have peace? Do you have kindness? Are these things inside of you as you care about other folks? Because you see, Jesus loved us first, which means that we can love you. But if I don't have the love for other people, then do I have Jesus' love inside of me? Yes or no? Mm-mm. So if I want to know if I'm truly a child of the King, I have to find out, am I mirroring? You remember the old, what was it, WWJD? What did that stand for? What would Jesus do? Do you remember the frog? Fully relying on God. It depends on what era you went through youth group at that time, whether you remember WWJD or FROG. WWJD is what would Jesus do, and frog is fully relying on God. So it just, you know, there's all kinds of different acronyms, but what would Jesus do? So ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? And I'm going to tell you, when you start applying that principle to every decision you make, you'll be surprised at how many times you have to rethink your decision and say, that wasn't the right decision, this is the right decision. Have you ever tried that principle? It's tough. It will change your life and the way you look at things and the way you approach different people. So the fruit of the Spirit, the root of everything is Jesus, and focus on that. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13. This is the day before Valentine's Day. We're talking about the root of all the gifts, love. And so let's go to the great love chapter. How many of you, when you got married, had 1 Corinthians 13 read at your wedding ceremony? Wow. I'm kind of surprised. Just a couple. Figured it'd be a few more than that. So I've been asked to read that several times. And then what's interesting, no, I won't tell you that. It's wild tales that you can find out. It's interesting. Have you ever tried to plan a wedding with some folks? I don't like doing that. You find out really what people are made of when you start doing that. No, it's a lot of fun. It's a fun time to celebrate, but it can be highly stressful, similar to building a house for the first time. Have you ever built a house? That's a highly stressful event, isn't it? So, that's rough. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, though. Let's look at the first verse alone. Here we go. If I speak human or angelic languages, but do not have love, I am a sounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So I can speak with, Paul is writing here, and he's saying, I can speak with tongues of angels, I can speak with human tongues, I can do any of that, I can speak in anything, but if I don't speak it in love, I'm a clanging cymbal. It's no different. Have you ever heard somebody, when you talk to somebody and they just had that pitch, that tone in their voice that made you go, please, Lord, let me find some earplugs. I can't stand listening to this person's pitch any longer. Anybody like that? Anybody else like that y'all have? Yeah, I'm like, oh, please, let me get off the phone. Let me turn down my hearing aid. I don't have hearing aids, but I turn them down or take the battery out. I swear sometimes some people do have selective hearing, though. Turn it, oh, that hurts so much. And that's what Paul's saying. If you don't speak the truth in love, if you don't share love, then it doesn't matter how good you are in speaking in any language, love language, spiritual language, angelic language, it doesn't matter how fluent you are in whatever else. If you don't speak the truth in love to everyone else, then you are sounding like a cymbal. You are clanging in a loud, obnoxious noise. So what do I need to do first? I need to get my life right with God first. That's the first thing that I need to do. Because if I don't do that, everything else won't matter. And Paul points that out first. Because the church at Corinth had kind of gotten off track. And Paul says, you need to come back center course. Let's look at the second verse. Second verse says, if I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. So I can have the gift of prophecy. I can prophesy all day long, and I can say and say and say and get it, but it won't matter. I can understand all mysteries. And Paul was being over-exaggerating because there's no way that he would understand all mysteries, and he knew that, but he was making the point. Even though I understood how everything worked, and by the way, in the Bible, God only gave us exactly what he wanted us to know. He didn't give us the whole story. He gave us what he needed us to know and what he wanted us to know so that we could understand what it was going to be like and how we could live on this earth before we got to heaven. But even if you understood all those mysteries and you had all the knowledge and you had faith that could move mountains, and think about that for a minute. It only takes the mustard seed to move a mountain, right? Faith of a mustard seed to move a mountain. And yet if you had all of that and could move mountains and you don't have love, you have what? Nothing. Verse 3. And if I donate all my goods to feed the poor, and if I give my body in order to boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Gain nothing. How hard is that? I can give away anything and everything I have, but if I don't do it with the right heart. I can give, I can announce all kind of things that I'm giving away, but if I'm not doing it for the right reason, it doesn't mean a thing. If I'm doing it for self-glory, if I make if I'm letting you know about all the donations and contributions that I'm making, and you thank me for it, you know where my reward is? That was it. That was it, because I'm doing it for my glory. And that is the wrong heart. My love needs to be for everyone else. How do we examine that? What is love? Well, Paul handled that problem too. Verse 4. What is love? Love is patient, love is kind, and love does not envy. Love is patient and kind. You know, I was talking about Dominion Senior Living earlier, and I really love those folks over there. Those are precious souls. And they don't move as fast as they once did. And I'm discovering as I get older, I don't move as fast as I once did. And I'm sounding more like Rice Krispies every morning, you know, snap, crackle, and pop. And I'm hearing things that I normally didn't hear before. If I fall down, it takes me longer and longer to get up. I guess, praise the Lord, I'm able to get up, but it's just the way it is. But patience. You know, somebody may not be as quick as you, and I work with some folks, and Well, their ideal of being able to work with electronics, like the smartphone, we have a term. It's called a picnic. Y'all know what a picnic is? Problem in chair, not in computer. We have problem in chair, not in computer. That's exactly right. Think about that for just a minute. Sometimes, you know, you feel like, So, patience. Maybe somebody doesn't move as fast as you. Have you ever been out on the roadway? I teach teenage defensive driving, too. This is really funny. In teaching teenage defensive driving, and yes, I have nerves of steel, but we're teaching teenage defensive driving, and at some point in the class, I'll ask them, I'll say, what is old to you? Now, these are 16 to 25-year-olds. So I'll say, what is old to you? And they'll say anything, 50, 60, 40, you know, is old to them. And I thought back, and I thought, you know, it's kind of interesting. The more the older you get, the more that older goes further out that way. My grandmother, she was 90. What's old to you? That's 98, them old people over there. You know? Same way over at Dominion. What's old? Oh, man, them old people. Like, you know, you fit right in here, you know? So it's all relative. But then I'll point out to them, do you do realize that, you know, I'll ask them, when do you think you need to take your driver's license away? And they'll look and they'll say, oh, when you cross 60, absolutely. And I'll say, all right, you do realize that in the retirement plan you're in, if Social Security is around when you get there, that you will be 75 when you retire. So the last 10 years of your working years, 10 to 15 of your working years, you're going to have to ask for a ride. Maybe I need to rethink that a little bit. So then I point out to them this. I say, now, when y'all go driving, how do you drive on the roadways? And they'll say, well, we get out, you know, and they go, you know, drive out through, you know how young drivers do, and they have lead foots many times, and they just giddy up and go. And so I said, what's your most aggravating driver? And every one of them will say, Grandma. Why is that? Well, when Grandma gets out, she's just so slow and she holds us up. And I remind them, I said, let me remind you of something. First off, Grandma helped pay the way for you to have this road to drive on with their taxes as they were growing up. And in their working life, you're able to ride on the road through their blood, sweat, and tears. You need to be a little bit more respectful, and it's a social activity, and work around them a little bit. Be more patient, because you got to understand we're all in this together out on the roadway. We're all trying to get from point A to point B. And if you're lucky, you'll be that person one day. You'll be that person one day. And you need to realize, too, that that person is somebody's grandma or grandpa. Or in my case, you know, mom or dad, okay? And so look at things different. Be patient, be kind as you look to somebody else or look at other things. Love does not envy, is not boastful, is not conceited, does not act improperly, is not selfish, is not provoked, and does not keep a record of wrongs. You know, why do you keep a list of everything that's wrong? You know, oh, I got a list going right here. I need to, you know, update that. You know, well, he did this wrong to me, and I'm going to get him back for that and all that. You need to let all that go. And I've learned that when I was younger, there were a lot of things that I was willing to die on a hill for. When y'all were younger in your 20s, did you have a hill that you were willing to die on? I mean, you know, how many missions did you go out and you say, I'm going to change the world because I'm here and I'm 20-something, right? And I'm going to change the world. And then as you progress through life, you say, boy, that wasn't the brightest decision I ever made, and that wasn't a hill worth dying on. There's other things. You recalibrate. I had one of my parishioners one time. He had open heart surgery all of a sudden, and it really affected him. And so I was visiting with him in CICU, and we were talking a little bit, and he said, you know, all the things that I thought that were important in my life are now different after having this event. All of my priorities in life are now different. All of the things that I thought were major that I need to fix and change and adjust and everything else have now gone to the wayside. I now have had my life recalibrated. In my EMS career, I have been around many folks and seen many folks have a second chance at life. and been able to be there to see them come back from absolute death and a flat line on the monitor to having a heartbeat walking out of the hospital. And I can't tell you how many times I've been able to see that particular event occur. And they were given a second chance on life, and they recalibrated themselves and said, now I'm going to focus on what's important. My dear friends, I'm going to challenge you tonight to recalibrate yourself to say, this is now what's important. What's important to you? What's important to God? When I talk to other folks, I tell them the triangle. I talk a lot with couples and both premarital couples and then those that have been married for a while. And I show them the triangle. And they look at me kind of strange like you are right now, but I'm going to share with you the truth of the triangle. The truth of the triangle is this right here is my wife. This right here is me. This point up here is God. If I want to have a happy marriage, the first thing I've got to get right is right with God. My wife has got to get right with God. And if we focus right here on God, then coming together is not a problem at all. And in today's society, as we talk about love, we have missed this part right here. We are so focused on this part down here of getting together that we've missed the whole point of being in a relationship. And so I tell everybody, you've got to focus on God, you focus on God, and when both of you are focused there, then coming together will be a whole lot easier because your mission, your purpose, everything else has come together in the way it needs to be. So Paul goes on and he says, verse 7, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Through everything, love sees through. I've been folks, and I've been in and out of jail my whole life. Really, I have. You ought to see the kids' faces in defensive driving school when I tell them that. They say, how is it that you're teaching us when you've been in and out of jail and in prison your whole life? And then I tell them the rest of the story because I use it as a lead-in. A lot of times, and they'll say, how is it possible that you've been in and out of jail a lot? And so when you go into prison ministry, you're able to share a lot of truth. And there's a lot of folks that are willing to get right down to the nitty-gritty and understand what's going on in life. And many folks you're able to share. But a mother's love never changes for her son or daughter. You agree with that? A parent, no matter how backwards or displaced or out of sorts or whatever term you want to use, that child is, they're still my child. Amen? Now, I can't be responsible for everything you've done, but I can still love you for who you are. We as a church at Abba's House, we too need to love people for no matter where they are, no matter where they've been, no matter where they've come from, it doesn't matter. We don't need to get them cleaned up to come to church. We need them to come to church to get cleaned up. That's the message, all right? That's the message. Abba's House is, you know, I remember a time in church to where we would see folks come in the back and everybody in the church would turn and look and judge immediately as soon as they walked in the door. And we can't do that. And that's a neat thing about Abba's House because nobody cares. We're just excited you're here. You come right on down and you make yourself right at home. Here, let me get you some coffee. Let me fix you up and let's take care of your needs. Exodus Ministry over here, you know, where we serve meals every Sunday afternoon and many of you are involved in that. What an incredible ministry because you have to take care of people's physical needs before you can meet their spiritual needs. Physical needs and then the spiritual needs, because if they've got a hungry stomach, they're not going to listen to your message. If they have a hungry stomach, they won't listen to your message. If they're cold and freezing outside, they're not going to have that message. They're not going to hear it because they're shivering. We've got to meet that physical need and minister to them in that way and show them that love and demonstrate that love, and then they'll listen to the spiritual love and they'll understand it because we cared about them. But let me move on to verse 8. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for languages, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to talk about tongues tonight. Pastor Pastor Ron is going to handle that later on. I'm going to tell you this. I do not believe that the gift of tongues, miracles, and others, they haven't ceased. Many people misinterpret this particular passage, and they say, they will come to an end. languages, they will cease. Knowledge, it will come to an end. So it says right there, Pastor, that all of this stuff's, you know, at one point in time, God said, cut it off. That's not true. That's a misinterpretation. The truth of the matter is this. You see, the gifts are given so that we can share God's love with other people who do not yet know Jesus. We can share God's love with those who know Jesus that are needing that extra encouragement in that time. We have those gifts to do that. When you get to heaven, you will have no longer a need for those gifts. Amen? We won't need the gift of languages. We won't need that gift of knowledge, because when you get to heaven, you'll have what? You'll have it all. But love will still be there. That's why he says love never ends. Because love, he loved us first, carries it through now. And when you get to heaven, he loves us all the way to heaven and through all of eternity. Love is always there. So don't misinterpret that passage. And more to come on that later. We're going to jump to verse 13. Verse 13 says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? Love. So again, it doesn't matter about everything else. We've got to have love for each other. We've got to have love for mankind. We've got to have love for the person who's down. And it's not just, yeah, we love that person. Can you sit next to them and encourage them and hear their problems? Hey, how you doing? You doing okay? Yeah, it's great. Hey, good to see you today. What's going on? And you turn and walk off. How many times have you passed somebody in the hall and out of niceness you say, how are you doing? And then you turn and they say, I'm doing fine, and you just walk off. Now, when my wife says fine, she says it in code. I still haven't figured out some of these things. I'm a little slow, and I'm just going to tell you, ladies, that most men are slow. You're going to have to be a little bit more obvious. When you say fine to me, that means everything's okay, no worries. But to her, that's not what that means. So how many times do you walk by somebody and you ask them how they're doing, but you don't really care how they're doing? If you're going to ask somebody how they're doing, stop and listen to their story. Try to ask them a follow-up question and get to know them personally. Try to get past the weather and what's on the politics channel of the day, because those are the standard top conversations. Try to get a little deeper. I've made a challenge in my life, especially my work associates. I know about their jobs. I know what they do. I know how they do things. But I've tried to make a challenge to get to know them, their wife, and their kids. Or them, their husband, and their kids, depending on, you know, male or female there. But try to get to know them a little bit deeper beyond that work relationship. Know them a little more. Now, I realize that there's some boundaries there, but try to know them as a person. All the people you come in contact with, know them as a person a little deeper. Speak the truth in love. How do you spell love? T-I-M-E. T-I-M-E. That's how you spell love. Time. Time. Time, time, time. The way you understand love is to spend time with somebody. My daughters don't care about much else. They just want my what? They want my time. We can do all kinds of other things. We can provide all kinds of things, but it really doesn't matter. It all comes down to what? Time. Take time for yourself. Take time for your family, and go enjoy that. Invest in time. That's the investment of a lifetime. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into him who is the head, Christ. Speak the truth in love. I've got to tell you the truth. And I share a lot with my classes. I'll tell them, you know, what's a good friend to you? And they'll have various definitions. I say, a true friend is one that will tell you what you need to hear, not necessarily what you want to hear. And that shocks a lot of people. A true friend will tell you what you need to hear at the risk of losing the friendship. And you need to tell them straight, but you need to tell it to them in love. How you tell them is just as important as what you say. Tell them in truth and in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to close with this. I like to share the gospel message everywhere I go, no matter what. The gospel message is the ultimate message of love. It is love. It is sacrifice. And you can learn all sorts of scripture passages. Romans 3:23 and 6:23 say the wages of sin is what? But the gift of God is eternal life. We've already worked through John 3:16. The Bible tells us about the love that Jesus had for us. But let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. And if you haven't marked this, just mark it in your Bible. And it reads, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. It's not according to Jake. It's according to what? The Scriptures. And so you're not, I'm not telling you my story. I'm telling you about Christ. You can't, don't always believe me, but the Bible never changes. The message is, according to the Scriptures, Christ died for our sins. According to the Scriptures, He was then buried. According to the Scriptures, He was then raised on the third day. That is the gospel message. Do you believe that? If we really believe that, God gives us the gifts to share that truth with everyone we come in contact with. My challenge for you, as we kind of close here, is to do this. Share the love of God with everybody you come in contact with tomorrow and the rest of this week and forever, for the rest of time. Think about it. How can I demonstrate love? Can I invite you to church? Can I invite you to know my Jesus? Can I take you out for lunch? Can I meet you for dinner? Can I meet a need? When you go to a restaurant, ask somebody. Ask your waitress or waiter, is there anything we can pray for you over? Is there anything that we can do for you? And if you're going to leave a tip and a track, make sure the tip is worth reading the track. Make sure that the tip is greater than the cost of the track. Okay, because I guarantee you that if that tip isn't comparable, the track will land in the trash. All right? But get to know your waiters. Because those are, you know, I couldn't do it. You want this? I dump them in the lap. I'm out of here. That's not my thing. But they're working. They're hard workers. They got to get a lot of stuff done. Love them. Encourage them. Be patient. Be slow to lash out. Hold that anger. Be understanding, kindness, self-control. Those are the fruit of the Spirit. You agree? Amen. In thinking about the tree I shared with you earlier, you have the part that blooms on top of the ground, but it's the root that holds it steady. I encourage you to read your Bible, pray, and love the Lord with all your heart. Not half your heart, all your heart. Every day, all day. God gave me a special gift, my wife, Rhonda. 20 years. Can't believe it. 20 years. Flew by. And she is indeed God's blessing to me. And I'm very thankful for her. And oddly enough, Valentine's Day is when we actually got engaged 21 years ago. And that was just a wonderful time in my life. And yes, I remember that date, and it was a good time. It was actually at the Loft as well. Y'all remember the Loft back in that day. It was a good restaurant back then. It's not even there anymore. But think about how thankful you are for your spouse, for your family. And just give them a word of encouragement. Say, just want to let you know I'm thinking about you and I love you. And let's spend some time together. Maybe God's speaking to you tonight. And you just say, Pastor, I just want to pray for me for love. I want to have that greater love growing in me. And I want to be able to use the gifts that God's given me. And I want to be founded in God's Word. I'm going to give you that opportunity here in just a minute when we, I'm going to pray and then we'll go into ministry time. And I'll pray with you for anything that you have going on in your life, any challenges that you're facing. Just join me right here down front and you come on. Whatever you need, but most importantly, let's just remember that the root of the gifts is Jesus Christ, and that is love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for your many blessings, your watch care, Lord. I thank you for keeping us close to you. Lord, I thank you for everyone that's here today. And I pray, Lord, that as we've studied your word, as we've looked at 1 Corinthians 13, we've looked at 1 John 4:19, Lord, that we are reminded that we are able to love because you first loved us and you implanted in us the seed that we are able then to share your love with others. Lord, I pray that every soul that's here, Lord, every soul that's listening, every soul that hears us later, Lord, would come to realize that you are the reason we're able to be here at all. And we're able to have that hope because of you. You left heaven's throne room. You came to this earth. You died on the cross so that we could have the hope of eternal life with you. Lord, I pray for an anointing here, Lord, of love and to be able to recognize those that are in need and meet their need in your name, that they would come to know you in a real and personal way. Lord, I pray now as we come to this time of invitation that whatever needs may be here, that we would respond accordingly and in obedient word to you. In your most holy and precious name, we do pray and ask these things. Amen. As Adam plays, I'm just going to ask you to stand in just prayerful time for a minute, and then we'll close. If you have a need or something, you don't hesitate to come forward.